5, page 5. You know that the Torah tells us, "Achare Rabbi Mahatos," that you follow Rove. Follow Rove, and that's also the source of Bittel Barove. So that means that if you have something, say you have a treif hot dog, and it gets mixed up with two kosher hot dogs. So now you have in front of you three hot dogs. One of them is treif and two of them are kosher, and you don't know which is which. So the halacha is you could really eat them all. Because even though for sure you're eating a treif one. Right? One of them is for sure treif. But that's the din of bittel. Right? That's the din of bittel. Now, that's called yovish v'yovish because it didn't really get mixed in. It's just it's a taruvus because you don't know which is which. Each three of the franks is mamish sitting in front of you. You don't know which is which. But then you have a real mixture like treif milk falls into kosher milk. So it's really so. Then the halacha is that you need shishim. In other words, you have to have 60 times kosher to treif in order to mevatel. Now, the halacha is the aim of atla nisul chatchila. Because bittul is only if it happens, if the mixture happens. But you can't decide, you know, I'd love to see what the McDonald's frank tastes like, so I'm going to go buy a McDonald's frank, and then I'll go to McDovid's and buy two McDovid's franks, and I'll mix them up, and I'll eat them all. No. You can't create the tarovus. If the tarovus happens, then fine. But you can't create the mixture. But the question is, that's by Anissa Daraisa. What about by Anissa Drabanan? So by Anissa Drabanan, we say that if it already got mixed in, but it is not shishim to mevatel, you could be mosif. By Anissa Daraisa, you can't. By Anissa Drabanan, if it already got mixed in, it's just that there wasn't enough to mevatel, you can be mosif. So the question is like this. It says in Shulchan Aruch by Hilchas Chanukah that the halacha is that the extra oil from the menorah is asur b'hanah. You're not allowed to use it. Extra oil in the menorah you're not allowed to use. So you got to get rid of it. I don't think it means that you have to dafka burn it, even though it's a Shulchan Aruch, you burn it. I mean, I can't tell you how many people asked me this year whether they have to burn their oil. Oh, yeah, for sure it doesn't mean the one that's still in the jug. Yeah. So a lot of grease there. So if you have extra oil, you can't use it. You got to get rid of it. So the question is, What if it got mixed in and you don't have enough to mevatel? Got mixed in with other oil. Say you were using oil from the fridge that you normally use for your salads. Now after Hanukkah, Nebuch, the guy took the oil from his menorah, he poured it back into the... I don't know if I'm eating in that house. You know, he pours it back in. So, and there was not shishim kedei mevatel. So the halacha is you can't put more to mevatel it. You can't say there were only 40-1 ratio, 40 kosher non Hanukkah oil that was in the jug. Now you to one, so you can't say okay now I'll add 20 to mevatel it. We say mevatel nisa lechatchila. So the question is, but the Mechaber paskins by Anissa Drabonon, you are Mevatel Issa Lechatchila. So by Anissa Drabonon, you are Mevatel Issa Lechatchila. So why can't you be Mosif by Ner Chanukah? Why can't you be Mosif on the oil to Mevatel? It's a steer in the Shulchan Aruch. There's a Hilchas Taruvus, he says, when it's an Issa Drabbanon, that's Nisarev, and you don't have Shishim, you can Mimosif Levatel. But in Hilchas Chanukah, he says, Yesh Misha Omer, that you can't do it. So what's the Chiluk? So the Shach says maybe Mitzvah, Huktzul Mitzvah so shiny, right? That's the Shach's Teretz. That there are two types of an Issa Drabbanon. There's a regular Issa Drabbanon, and then there's an Issa Drabbanon that the Issa Drabbanon stems from the fact that that it was used for a mitzvah. And therefore, once it's used for a mitzvah, you can't use it for something else. So that is more chomer, says the Shach, and therefore, but the Shulchan Aruch is talking about Nisad Rabbanon, you can't be Moshe Levatel. Let's talk about a pure Isser, like Muktza, something like that. But here, this Nisad Rabbanon stems from the fact that it was Huktzul Mitzvaso. And since it was Huktzul Mitzvaso, so then that's more Chomer. That's what the Shach says. And therefore, now the Mawar of parenthetically, wanted to say that maybe no Chanukah is different. And I think Rav Shechter points this out also, like the Ma'arav. I think Rav Shechter says it from the base of Ephraim. The Ma'arav says it based on his own knowledge. That maybe Chanukah is a Daraisa, just like we learned last year that he made a Kal V'chomer. Me'avdus L'cheiris Amin and Shira, Mimisa L'chaim L'kol Shekein. So maybe the idea of celebrating you know, a victory of something could be a deraisa, so maybe it is a deraisa, and that's what the Ma'arav is saying. And then there's the Beis Halevi, the famous Beis Halevi. What does the Beis Halevi say? Beis Halevi says there's a difference between an Isra Achila and an Isra Hano. That most of Shemin Shebener Chanukah is an Isra Hano. Mukta or other things, Isra Drabbanon, are only an Isra Achila. So an Isra Hano, you can't mevatel it, because that itself is considered getting Hano. Because if you take an Isra Hano and you mevatel it, then you're getting the food for yourself. So you can't do that. You can't make an Isser Hana Mutter, because that Gufa is getting Hana. See, by making it, I take an Isser Achila, which is Drabbanon, so then fine. In other words, because once you're going to eat it, it's already bottled. But by Hana, the second you mevatel it, you're adding to your pocketbook now. So therefore you're gaining more. So therefore, you can't. So that's what he's saying. When it comes to in Isra Achila Midrabanan, which Nazarev, but there was not 60, so then you can go ahead and be Marbe. When it comes to an Isra Hana, then you can't. No, but an Isra Achila is just an Isra Achila. This Hanoa means that it's not only also Achila, but you can't sell it, you can't profit from it, even if you're not going to eat it. This Hanoa includes Achila, but Achila doesn't include Hanoa. And Rav Shlomo Kluger wants to explain the shach, that the mitzvah is different, because when Chachamim make a mitzvah, since they're masakin a bracha to it, so that gives the mitzvah as if they're saying that the mitzvah drabanan is should be treated like a daraisa. Okay, good. The men nachaku Rambam Ramban again loved the Los Osos. So we know Torah has a love of Los Osos. So Pasuk says in Shoftim that a person doesn't know the halacha, so he goes to the Sanhedrin HaGadol, and the Sanhedrin HaGadol paskins the halacha. And then the Pasuk says, Lo sosu min adovar sheyegidu lcha yamin u'smol. That you shouldn't veer from what you're told. And you have a Zakin Mamre who veers, and he paskins different than the Sanhedrin HaGadol, so he gets killed. There was once a whole controversial article in the Beis Yitzchak about this. That someone wanted to take the position that, but what if he thinks the Sanhedrin HaGadol was wrong? So this fellow wrote, so then he has to paskin the way he thinks is right. Ah, we're going to kill him for it. Right? So he says, okay, but he's a martyr. That's what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to paskin what he thought was right, even though Sanhedrin HaGadol thought he was wrong, and yet we'll still kill him for it. I'll show you in the library. It's a little strange to say such a thing. That we're gonna. You think, in other words, you think what is right is right, so you do what you think is right, and you paskin against the Sanhedrin HaGadol, and that's what you're supposed to do. Ah, they'll kill you, so get killed. So you sacrifice your life for what you think is right. Pasha says that no, that you're supposed to listen to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. That's the Pasha says in Chumash. That even though you think you're right, but the 70 sages maybe have more wisdom than what you yourself think. So you have to follow what they say. I mean, this requires a whole shiur of what it means. I feel a yomin shu small shu yomin. It requires a whole. The whole shiur. So that's the whole book, Cain Mutiny. Right? Cain Mutiny, and that was the first thing I came to MTA in 10th grade. They made us read Cain Mutiny by Herman Wouk. That's authorities bind. The whole of you saw, like Rav Shecht always likes to say, authorities binding even in error. You have to listen to the authority. and whatever. That's the question. Is that really so? It's not so. Whatever. Yeah, Avram. Right, you should follow. Right, that's the Pashup Shah. And this fellow wrote a whole article, not assuming like that, and that caused a whole stir in the Yeshiva University community. Yeah. Right. Okay, I mean, right, you have good points. Oh. So comes the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvos and says that any din derabbanan is included in Lo Sasser. Whereas if Chachamim tell us to light Neiris Chanukah, so why do you have to listen? Because it says Lo Sasser Menadover Shir Gidulcha. Anything Chachamim Mesakein is included in Lo Sasser. That's the opinion of the Rambam, and that's based on the Gemara. Because the Gemara says that in Shabbos that we're learning here, Asher K'dushon, you make a bracha on Ner Chanukah, Asher K'dushon mitzvos of lavdik Ner Shal Chanukah. Right. So the Gemara asks the question, famous question, V'heichan tzivanu, where were we commanded? It doesn't say that in the Chumash to light Neiris Chanukah. Heichan tzivanu. So the Gemara has two opinions. One opinion says Lo Sasser, and one opinion says Shalavicha V'yagetcha. So the Rambam says, you see from here, that, at least according to the first opinion, that all the Rabbanans are included in Lo Sasser. So Ramban asked the question, if that be so, curse you and Muhammad for this, right? Kersh and Muhammad. So the Ramban asked the question, so if this be so, so how come we say Safek Drabbana Lakula? If every Drabbanan really should be a Daraisa, because you violate Drabbana, you violate Lo Sasser. So should it be Safek Drabbanan should also be in Lakhumra? That's the Ramban's question of the Rambam. So the Ramban, so the Megillas Esther, that's the classic Mefarish on the Sefer Mitzvahs. Megillas Esther says that that was part of the deal. In other words, with Chachamim, made their din, they made a clause that our dinim are only binding if you're vadai. But if it's a suffix, so then you don't have to follow our dinim. In other words, they made the clause. That's how they formulated. So now you don't violate Lo Sasser, because they said that you only, the halacha Lo Sasser is that you have to follow the Chachamim. But if the Chachamim themselves said that you only have to follow us if you're sure, in other words, you only have to follow us and not eat this treifa thing if you. Which is a treif drabbanan, if you're sure that it's treif drabbanan. So they put in the clause of their making the din drabbanan that suffix is lakula. So the Megillas Esther didn't think that was such a strong kasha on the Rambam.
The Ramban, on the other hand, says no. That the only thing from that all drabanans are not included in Lo Sasa. So what's included in Lo Sasa? What's included in Lo Sasa is only when the Chachamim try to interpret the Chumash based on what? On the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Drashed Behem. In other words, they're not making new halachas like Hanukkah and Purim and things like that. They're darshaning the psukim, so then that's what Lo Sasa is going on. Then you have to listen to what they say based on Lo Sasa. But if they're just making a new takana, like Hanukkah, Purim, or something like that, then that's not based on Lo Sasa. So the question is, so then what is it based on? In other words, the Ramban also agrees that you have to listen to the Chachamim. But it also holds that you have to light Neiris Chanukah. Trying to machlokas Rambam and Ramban, but you have to light Neiris Chanukah now. Right? Everyone agrees you have to light Neiris Chanukah. So then what's the... so what's the chiluk? So Rav Elchanan says maybe it's part of. It's hard to know. Rav Shechter always said that the Ramban would just hold that like the other sheet in the Gemara that din Heichad Sivanu from Shalavich V'Yagedcha, not from Lo Sasa. Or Rav Elchanan says it's a svara that you're following the Ratzon HaTorah, and Chachamim were able to follow know what the Ratzon HaTorah is, some type of svara. Even though it's not a tzivoy, it's not clear. But the bottom line is, what's the nafkamina? See, in this whole machlof is Rambam and Ramban. What's the nafkamina? Most people couldn't tell you what the nafkamina is. Most people know what the machlokus is a little bit. But the nafkamina is whether there's a din zaken mamre if the issue at hand is a din derabbanan. What does that mean? In other words, normally we said that Zokin Mamre means that the Sathedrin passed in one way. Again, we're not getting into all the details of the Zokin Mamre, and then the Zokin Mamre doesn't listen. And he paskins against the Sanhedrin. So what if the issue at hand is an issue of a derabbanan, like chametz on erev Pesach before chatzos, and the question whether this is aser or mutter or shaila like that, and the Sanhedrin paskin aser, he paskin mutter or something like that, with a beer din zaki mamre. So the Rambam, who holds that lo sasser includes all dinim derabbanan, even things that are not from the yud gimel midot, so then there'll be a din zaki mamre even. On a din derabbanan. According to Ramban, a din derabbanan is not nichlal below sasu, so therefore it's not going to be a din zakim amre. So what's the source of zakim amre? So therefore, in Echanami, there won't be a din zakim amre by a din derabbanan. You'll still have to listen to the derabbanan because either that's the Ratzon Hashem, or that's a svara, or shalavich v'yagedcha, whatever the case may be. Ellie? Yeah.
Why is that so?
Yeah. I mean, look, if you take a look in the packet here, Izirax, yeah. I'll show you. Second.
Yeah, look on page, if you have page 13. Paragimel, Hilchos Mamim, Halacha Hey, the Rambam says, Ein Zokin Mamim Chayiv Misa, Achei Chacham Shehigia Lahara, Somuch B'Sanhedrin, Yachol Chabezin B'Dovah Shedor Kharis V'Shegor Sochatis. Or B'Tfilin, V'Yor Elasos Kiharasu. The Gemara learns it out from Sukkim, that it's only, I think it's, whatever, I think it might be from Sukkim, but the Gemara has, and that's how the Rambam writes it, it's only, some questions by Chomitz to Rabbanon, so either you say that since the counterpart on the Deraisa level is Kiev Kare, so that's also Nichla. So that's the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. Now there's a din zaken mamre, but the losasser includes all the rabbanim like the Rambam, or only includes the rabbanim from the Yud Gimel Midrash Torah and Drashas Bahem. The Zakim Mamre is in the Chumash. What's the question of the Zakim Mamre? The Sanhedrin paskin a certain thing, and the Zakim Mamre doesn't listen to Psak of the Sanhedrin, and he goes and paskin stuff. He and his shtiebel, you know, he opened up his shtiebel, right? Yeah, he goes and he gives up Psak against that, against what the Sanhedrin paskin already. So that's the Zakim Mamre when they kill him, right? But what if the issue at hand is an issue of a derabbanan? In other words, Sanhedrin paskin that chametz, this food on Erev Pesach you can't eat because it's chametz, even though it's only chametz Erev Pesach before chatzos is only derabbanan. So they paskin mutter and he paskin osur, or vice versa. Yeah. So will there be a din zaki mamer in this case or not? So according to the Rambam, that everything, all the Rabbanans are included, so even if the issue at hand is a Rabbanan, there's still the issue of controversy between the Zakin Mamre and the people and the Sanhedrin is a Rabbanan, though also right. But according to Ramban, it can't be something that's a derabbanan, because it's only because the Rambam holds that all the rabbanans are losasser, and losasser is the pasuk of Zakin Mamre. So therefore, if all the rabbanans are binding upon us because of losasser, that means there'll be a din of Zakin Mamre and all the rabbanans. Ma'arav. Right. So Rav Elchanan tries to. You have to look in the Rav Elchanan piece to see if he says something. You're right. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Ramban. I looked high and low. I don't think it says that anywhere in the Ramban that it's dafka from that pasuk. Could be it's just a svara or something like that, or a halacha, you know, some type of thing like that. Okay, Rav Osei, we have concluded the Chazara. Let me just, before we're going to start Chumash around 2, because the sign says 2, so we can't preempt the sign. I just want to make some concluding remarks of the Zman. We began, when was it? September 1st, I think.
Right, that was the first day of Shir. Right, so it was September 1st. Usually it's in August. This year, September 1st. So September, October, November, and today is Kemat December. So as a matter of four full months. Kemat. You know, some breaks in between, whatever, but four full months. And I think it's important to reflect on everything we've learned. You know the way Shabbos is, the malacha part of Shabbos is not the classic type of Gemara that you'll be used to, because it's like a lot of one-liners. You know, then already the topic changes. You know, so there's always a struggle. What way is the best way? But I think that, since it's Masechta Shabbos, and Hilcha Shabbos is something that you're going to need to know the rest of your life. And how often do you get to learn Hilcha Shabbos B'Iyun? Right? Iyun, Mamish, looking up the Orzaruas and the Sefer Yerayims, and, you know, doing it inside, as opposed to just looking in one of these English, I'm not scared to criticize the English books. They're very good. All of them are good, but that's not learning Hilcha Shabbos. That's just being informed of what the person who wrote the Sefer is telling you what he thinks the halacha is. But that's not learning Hilcha Halacha. That's being informed of halacha. That's not learning halacha. And learning halacha means that you learn the Gemara, with the Rishonim, and the Tur, and the Beis Yosef, and the Mogen Avram, and the Gra, and our Hashulchan, and then you understand the whole sugya, and that's what it's all about. And I think there's still a lot more for us to do, Bez Hashem, that we'll be doing next semester in Halacha. And but I think we've done a lot of Inyanim, a lot of important Inyanim, in Yom Shabbos, and in Yom Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Hanukkah, and different things. And I think it's a big accomplishment, that there's a Shem, that we should continue more. But I think the key, as I told you, the key to growing and learning is to do things slowly. People think, erroneously so, that you do a lot, you know, you just rattle through a lot of things, you're going to know a lot. But it's just the opposite. It's, you go slow and more deliberate, and you see it inside, and you think about it, and you talk about it. That's how you really grow and learn it. You know, if you just come in, we can just come in, and I can speak for an hour and a half, and you'll take notes, and you'll have 10 times the amount of information in your notebooks, but you won't know anything in the end. You know, the same as you never learned anything. You just heard what someone else once learned. And learning, you have to realize, learning is a process. It's not just taking notes. Learning is something that you look inside, and you see it, and you think about it, and you discuss it. It's a process. It's not a thing that you just take notes and you go on and you write down much information. But it's a thought process. It's a learning process. It's a discussion process. That's what Torah Shabbat Peh is. Torah Shabbat Peh is not like I'm as Walter Cronkite, and I'm just telling you what the latest is, and then you're just jotting it down. It's a process. It's a maso matan. It's thinking. It's seeing. It's interpreting. Trying to understand what this line means. But if you don't see the line, so how can you discuss what the line means? You never saw the line. So so some people think that you learn less by doing that. That's the biggest mistake you can make. The more you see inside, the more you're learning. The more you're rushing through things, the less you're learning. And that's the geschmack of learning, is to go slow. See, there's a difference between going slow. In certain places, they go slow, but they can just fetch on something that's insignificant. Like one word in Rashi that they try to make a whole diuk that really doesn't exist, and you can fetch away. That's going slow, what Rabbi Willer calls
calls ploitering. Ploitering, mere ploitering. But you understand, in other words, to read, the key in learning is you read the Gemara inside, you read the Rambam inside, you read the Tosas inside, you understand it, you discuss it, you think about it, and then you get a kinyan on the learning, or else it's just flippant. And that's a big yisod you should know for the rest of your lives, because people, I think a lot has to do with the influence that this secular world has. That in the college classes, I'm not here chas v'shalom to knock college classes, but the way information is given, at least in some classes, is the professor just gets up there and speaks, and everyone's taking notes for the whole hour. Now you don't even have to take notes because already people took notes from the previous semesters, so you can just follow along if you want. You don't even have to, so there's no thought process there. I don't understand why you have to be there. Why does the professor have to be there? Just get the notes, and that's the whole point of the whole. But that's the way. So a lot of times that those ideas have crept into. I mean, look, crept into learning. That the way secular information is given over through lecture form has crept into the learning process. And I think that's very problematic, because then you'll never really enjoy learning that way. And then ultimately you'll just give it up because it's not enjoyable. What keeps people into learning is the enjoyment you have from learning. And you only get an enjoyment in life when you put yourself into it, when you put your mind into it, and you're thinking about it, and you're looking about it. You put your facilities, your faculties that you have, your eyes, your ears, your brain, into it, and then you understand it, and it's not a question of, how many blot you did or how many blot you didn't do. It's that idea of understanding the learning and thinking about it and being excited about it. It's not a question of just taking notes. And you'll see at the end of this, for some reason in secular studies, that's the way professors do it. They should all live and be well and continue to teach their classes. But it's not something that necessarily going to stay with you olam v'ed, because it's not, you were never involved in the process. If you're not involved in the process, so then it doesn't stay with you. It'll stay with you hopefully for the final, and then after the final, give it a day or two, maybe a week or two, and then it's like you never heard it before, because you never thought about it. You just remember, you took notes, or again, maybe you didn't even take notes, you just downloaded it, and you crammed it for the test, and then you'll get your A and your whatever, which is fine. I'm not here to, discuss that, but Talmud Torah is a process. It's a learning process. So that's just a note-taking process. And that's why I think it's very important, especially in Yechazara, that you should look things inside and see it inside and think about it and discuss it with your chavrusa. It's not a pshat that you you read you take notes and you read your notes back to him. The way someone said it is, you confirm the information. You confirm it's confirmation of the information. That's not what learning is. It's understand. And a lot of learning is to understand what to stress and what not to stress. I think that's one of the things I think I gained a lot in Rav Shach this year. Even though, in other words, to know what's a point that you should spend time on, and what's a point that you don't spend time on. What's like not significant at all. Sometimes people will spend time on certain things that really you shouldn't be spending so much time on, because, and that you need a Rebbe to point out that this point is worth spending 2 hours on, because this is significant to the sugyo or la sugya shemaita libid hilchasa. And this diak that you want to think and make a whole thing is not worth spending any point, because really nothing comes out of it. And I think it's, I think if you ever get to read the Rav Avadya Yosef's sefer called Igeret Leben Torah, he writes a, it's a small sefer. It's called A Letter to B'nai Torah. And it's all about learning. And it's a very important work. You should read it in your spare time. Igeres Leben Torah. It's about learning, and learning Alibi de Hilchasa. Not just learning, you know, Gemara just Stam for the sake of just making Chakiras and just, but coming with a conclusion. Whereas at the end, you should have a conclusion. Could you open the shades on Shabbos for the sun to come in or not? You know, what's the issue? What's behind it? And what's the pashas, or how we should paskin? And, you know, lasuk ishmaitz aliba de hilchasa, which is the ultimate, you know, goal of the learning. They say in Moshe Feitz, he said, Limud Gemara, Limud Halacha, not two separate things. In yeshivas, it became two separate things. And the Limud HaGemara was just Stam Limud HaGemara with whatever, brisk or tells or whatever derech you want. And then you have the half an hour Mishnah Berurah Seder in the morning that we're so called, that's Limud Halacha. So really, that's not the way it should be. It's that it's one thing. It's limud gemara alim till you get to the halacha. This way, because if you just do the Mishnah Berurah, so you're not going to really know the halacha, but you won't know how to apply it. You won't know how to apply it because it's too, halacha is too nuanced. That if you just see what it says in the bottom sfarim, that are bottom line. Especially certain areas in the Mishnah Berurah, you know, are like Hilchos Kriyas Shema, so you want to know if it's a hefsek to speak or not to speak, so it'll be pretty straightforward. But when it, say, comes to Hilchos Shabbos, you know, where it's much more nuanced and much more, so to know how to apply it is like, it'll be very, very, very difficult unless you learn the sugyas. And then people come, they're machmir when they shouldn't be machmir, they make it when they shouldn't, you know, it works both ways, and that's the big yisod. But the ikir is that you should enjoy the learning, and you enjoy the learning when you really are learning. You see the things inside, you look, you talk, you understand, you think, and at the end of his mind you should feel proud, a sense of accomplishment, that look how much how many different sugyas you've done, how many new yediyas you have, how many havana you have, and you know where it is, you looked it up, you saw it, and that's a big yesod. So I wanted to just conclude with those words, and we'll start Chumash in a couple of minutes.